we had some, you know, fairly positive things to report. So Mike, go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I think as Director Peterson had mentioned earlier in his recap of the Finance Committee, we did present the second quarter financial report. The results for the second quarter were generally favorable. Revenues actually were up slightly in the second quarter. As you can see, total revenue totaled $241.5 million for the second quarter. It makes up the bulk of our revenue. It was $2.1 million more than we had projected for the second quarter. That's essentially due to commercial vehicle traffic being greater than what we had projected for the second quarter. Actually, CDM Smith, our traffic engineer, had projected. Commercial vehicle transactions grew 2.6% and were 0.7% greater than 2013. So the positive revenue performance really does relate to commercial vehicle traffic. Passenger vehicle traffic was very close to what we had projected, actually just fractionally percentage point less than what was projected for the second quarter. Evasion recovery, Shauna's group continues to find ways to bolster evasion recovery efforts, just a little over what we had projected, $1.6 million for the second quarter. Maintenance and operations expenses were $6.6 million below budget, although there are several items that we'll touch on that we need to watch during the second half of the year, including contractual services, some timing of contractual services, some workers' compensation costs, and some utility billing issues that we want to talk a little about a bit more in detail. Capital program, spending on the capital program was less than we had projected for the second quarter, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I think Kathy's going to speak to that. The budget, $986 million in revenue was budgeted, allocated $283 million to operations, $317 million to debt service, and $386 million of that revenue is targeted toward our capital program. As we mentioned, revenue $3.6 million greater than budget, comprised of full revenue and evasion recovery. All the other sources very, very close to what we had projected for the second quarter. As I mentioned, maintenance and operations spending, the maintenance or operating costs were $6.6 million less during the second quarter than what we had projected. In payroll, we do have more vacant positions than we've had and we had planned during the budget process. That's a favorable variance of $2.6 million. Contractual services shows a favorable variance of $2.3 million, or spending down $2.3 million in the second quarter. That really is largely a timing issue. We had a number of contracts that were previously capital contracts that, as we reviewed where they might be funded more appropriately, we thought we should move them to operations. Includes things like pavement inspection contract, underwater bridge inspection, I think of bioswale maintenance. We had expected in finance, we had expected or planned for those to start earlier, those efforts. They are underway now, but they did start later in the year than we had anticipated. So we see spending on those contracts increasing in the second half of the year. Materials, operating supplies, other expenses, this is really favorable results so far in terms of our cost of winter materials. Since we did receive good news on the purchase of the salt is 10% less this year than last year. So it's quite likely that we could see a favorable variance by the end of the year, but as you know, that's really subject to how the winter weather occurs in the fall and in the winter. Early part of the winter. Utility costs were above budget, $564,000 for the second quarter. Much of this relates to billing problems. They're billing errors that we're working through with the State Department of Central Management Services, our telecommunications for our 800 line for our customer call center. are billed through the Department of Central Management Services. We have been working with them to try to resolve those billing issues. In total, for the whole first 6 months of the year, we think it's about a $370,000 overbilling so far. So much of that increased cost, we believe, will be offset with billing credits in the second half of the year. Although there are some increased electric costs, so Jeff assures me we're going to get savings on from new providers in the second half of the year, so we're not as concerned about the electric side. And equipment, office rental, and maintenance was under budget as well. That in large part relates to transitioning. We had planned some development and maintenance of software and some maintenance of equipment for our existing electronic tolling system that we may now not do as we start to transition to the necessary. And finally, all other insurance actually showed a spending below budget, but we have an item on the agenda today in which our actuary has recommended an increase of about $2.6 million for past year claims for workers' compensation. So we put more into that reserve. And a total budgetary impact, including the new recommendation, the recommendation for the new year, a total budgetary impact of about $3 million. So in other words, we expect to spend about $3 million more on workers' compensation reserves, not the actual claims, but putting it in the reserves, than we had budgeted at the start of the year. As Director Peterson mentioned, we believe we can accommodate that within the budget due to the payroll savings, contractual service savings, and other operating lines being less than budget. We would accommodate that through a budget transfer process throughout the remainder of the year.
And on that one, Mike, I think there were some questions in the committee because we had taken down the reserves last year and now we're adding back in, so maybe we just give us one sentence. Can you give us a one sentence explanation?
You're really being limited today.
I know, I've already gone past my limit.
You can do a very long one.
It really, this year we did see a number of a few larger claims that in which we had received an unfavorable decision from the commission, and we thought we would be able to settle those. We had reserved less, thought we'd be able to settle those claims for less. The claims actually went to an arbitrator and then actually went to the commission on a couple of them. They were over, the commission ruled in favor of the claimant. So those three or four claims, I think, accounted for maybe half of the adjustment that we were speaking.
Thank you.
Kathy will be quicker than me. Thank you,
Mike. Good morning. So as Mike mentioned, total expenditures for the capital program was down $97.4 million in the second quarter. Spending for Move Illinois, you can see, is down $83.9 million. Spending for other roadway, other capital, which is non-roadway capital, was down $4.3 million. We received intergovernmental reimbursements from intergovernmental agreements and other adjustments of $9.2 million, which contributes to the variance because we don't budget for that throughout the year. So again, our total variance for the capital program was down $97.4 million. Most of the variance, as you can see on I-90, can be attributed to scheduling changes. This was for contract work, eastbound contract work, as a result of weather delays that we experienced. And as we discussed during the Finance Committee meeting, with extra teams being used and adjustments being made, we expect that these delays will keep us from meeting our targeted schedules for the construction season. Also contributing to some of the variance, scheduling delays on system-wide contracts. But overall, with the schedule changes, cost savings that we've experienced, and some aggressive scheduling that had been done earlier. We're down for the quarter, but we expect that considerable effort is going to continue to be made to make sure that, you know, we stay on target and within our budgets. Turn it back over to Mike.
So year to date, our revenues are $7 million greater than budget. Again, it's the same continuing trend of toll revenue and evasion recovery being slightly higher than was projected at the start of the year. Same story on maintenance and operations. Payroll, contractual services, which includes a component of it, which is a timing issue, materials, winter materials and operating supplies, and with utilities being over budget so far this year. But much of that, at least half of that, due to billing issues that we're having on our telecommunications with CMS. $10.2 million favorable variance in the operating budget so far this year, with the pressures of, or the offsets of, additional contractual spending related to those capital contracts that were delayed, likely not to occur in the second half of the year, as well as the additional $3 million or so of workers' compensation reserves that we will be setting aside. So there are some liens, so to speak, on that $10 million favorable variance. And I think it's a similar story with respect to the capital program. Kathy covered the reasons for the variances in for the second quarter. Again, the schedule issues, primarily due to weather, and some of the contracts actually being started a little later than what we previously anticipated. Most of the important kind of all of the
important projects are going to be done this year. We're taking action to make up any lost time. We have made up a lot even over the past couple of weeks, even since the FAO committee. So there is being a lot of good progress made, and we don't think we're going to be under by as much as the numbers are predicting right now when we get to the end of the year. And a big chunk of it was due to bid savings also. I'll note that, you know, that's just the difference between what we went into the project thinking we were going to have to spend for construction and what the actual bids came back. So, that we don't foresee any commitment that we made in our Move Illinois program not being delivered on time this year.
And we would have the option, we could take even more aggressive steps if we still feel we're behind in a couple of weeks or a month, right? But at this point, you know, we don't see any need to take any more action.
Right. At this point, we are monitoring it daily. And, you know, if there is more efforts that are required, you know, work around the clock or whatever, we'll certainly consider it, because I really feel like keeping the projects on schedule is the number one thing for keeping the program on track. So we like to advertise our jobs when we say we're going to, and we like to complete them when we say we're going to, because the projects are linked together. So a delay in one year could force delays in future years, which we know we need to avoid, because they end up costing more.
I got a couple of questions. One on the workers' compensation reserves. One thing we talked about was, because we're self-insured, we look at stop loss on those claims, but the costs were too great based on the awards. I think it was $1 million of coverage for $750,000. Was that what we talked about?
Yes.
So I want to make people aware, we did look into that. And then secondly, I know the third quarter we did this in the refunding. We did a small refunding. And what impact that will have going forward on the third quarter, and also we're still looking at the market right now for the additional.
We're looking, but not as closely as we were.
Just to make it clear, we were talking about the bonds.
The bonds,
it's
right.
Just support.
Yeah. We were able to execute a refinancing on a portion of what we had anticipated to do this year. It was on the shorter end. it could produce savings of around $13 to $14 million. That does, we will see some debt service savings as a result of that in the second half of the year. The bond market, both the treasury market and the municipal market, bond market, have kind of, it has been somewhat volatile, and the concern about whether or not the Fed is going to start tapering their bond buying program and when that tapering starts is driving much of that volatility. At that point, we did the smaller refunding. We believe that because we had several years until the call dates, that it made sense to wait because we were, you know, experiencing this negative arbitrage. Right now, the rates are still above what we would need for them to be to execute the remainder of that transaction. But we monitor it for two reasons. One, for that transaction, which is a purely economic transaction, and we also are monitoring it for this. You also authorized a restructuring or refunding of some synthetic fixed rate debt. So we're monitoring both the swap market and the bond market in that transaction as well. Both of them are not favorable at this point to doing the transactions, but we're prepared now. We have the authorization, we have the team in place, and we can move much more quickly.
And you'll keep Director Peterson posted as you continue to scrutinize the board.
We will.
Are there other questions for Mike? To state the obvious, from the master of stating the obvious, this quarterly report really captures the, I would argue, one of the central fiduciary responsibilities of the board. On the one hand, we're talking about how much we're spending as against what we projected, and on the other hand, as Paul just chimed in here, we're talking about how well we're doing on completing the actual construction of the project. So it's really capturing the essence, I think, of the balance that we have to strike in terms of getting these programs done. We have more detailed conversation in the committee. You know, how much do you pay to get yourself back? Do you have to pay to get yourself back on time because of conditions that were completely unforeseen? And you weigh that against how much we may have saved when we went into the market on our bid. So it's really figuring out how those elements of the financial control of the agency come together. And I appreciate the work of the committee and Mike and his team, obviously Christy, Mike, and the others in doing this, and the trustees' continuing vigilance on this. Thank you. Anything else or anything you want to comment? Oh, and there are many, many appendices which were cut from the original proposal, which you should certainly take time to read. All of which are important. Okay. Anything more on that? Should we turn to the consent agenda then, Christine?
I don't have anything else.
Okay, let's turn to the consent agenda. Let's start with finance. Is there anything in addition to the farm workers' comp that you wanted to mention and you didn't really talk about? Okay. So let's take item 6.1.1. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? And just for the record, these have all obviously been vetted in advance. Let's take procurement then. We have seven items here. Are there any that anybody wants to comment on that we haven't really talked about? Okay, good. Now your motion to your items 1 through 7 under 6.2.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions or refusals? Okay. Business systems. Excuse me, we have the settlement guideline resolution that Director Reddick had commented on before. And maybe we can just put that up on the screen and make sure that everybody has seen that. It's very complicated. Do we have any questions on that? No? Okay. May I hear a motion then?
Move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? Let's turn to engineering then. 6.4. Paul, are there any of these that you would like to comment on?
I did want to definitely talk about the four items that we kind of deferred to the full board meeting, and I direct your permission to go ahead and present those right now so you can consider.
You have my permission, it is great.
The first one, which, you know, we informed the FBO committee about, was, I believe, item number 8. This is a construction contract award, and this is for doing pavement reconstruction of some ramps up on 994 and Illinois Route 120. We did get two bids on this contract. Landmark Contractors was a low bidder at $2,179,494.79. At the time of the FAO committee, the diversity department was evaluating a request for a waiver, a front-end waiver on this contract on the DB goal. So they have completed their evaluation of that waiver request. I do want to note that Landmark, it has been a subcontractor on several of our previous tollway jobs, and this is their first opportunity to do a prime contractor work for us. When they did come in and meet as part of the DB waiver evaluation request, and they did note that they were very grateful for this opportunity. And I took that to heart because in our unbundling program, we are trying to provide opportunities for other contractors, smaller contractors, to actually bid on our work. So it seemed like it was working for them. They did have a DB shortfall, though. I believe their DB commitment at the time of bid was 11.76%, and the DB goal was 19%. I will note that on the August board items, we are doing really well with respect to DB when you look at it as a whole. We have roughly about $100 million in contract awards in just the construction and professional services on engineering. And on the professional services side, we have front-end commitments to 54% to DB firms, and on the construction at 16%. So the blended amount we're achieving is 34%, which I'm encouraged by those numbers, and I know that that's been a commitment by the board for those numbers. And I'll let Gustavo cover the waiver aspect.
So we pursuant to the process outlined by the contract documents, we gave Landmark an opportunity to come in and plead their case for the waiver and demonstrate to us that there was a good faith effort on this contract. And as Paul indicated, we met with them earlier this week, and they indicated that given the timing on the bid opening, which was in early July, the holiday caught up a lot of their potential subs, both DVEs and non-DVEs, out of town, an extended holiday break, and that a lot of the bids that they were expecting to receive from all kinds of subs were not in until after the bid was due. And as evidence of that, they did submit some copies of quotes that were given to them after the bid opening date. That given that extenuating circumstance, I felt that there was a proper, good faith effort exercised by Landmark, and I am going to grant the waiver request.
Are there questions on the waiver issue?
The difference between the two vendors is about $80,000. Did the second vendor meet the DB goal?
The second vendor, we have not done an analysis on the second vendor's paperwork. On the paper itself, it appears to have met the goal.
Do you think that, based on the difference of only $80,000, had Landmark met the DB goal, do you think that they would have been right up there with the second vendor in terms of price? Because we know that usually increases the price.
They have not indicated that would have impacted the price that they submitted to the tollway. Actually, as a added piece of information, not that it influenced my decision, they did show me several quotes from DVEs that if the contract was to be awarded to them, they intend to come back and at some point add to their contract, and that would just enhance their DVE participation beyond the participation that they have now committed to upfront.
So the reason really more that they didn't meet the DVE goal was because of timing.
The timing, that's right. That's exactly the reason.
But there were DVE contractors out there ready to do the project.
And they submitted evidence of some of those.
This was right, and I think you mentioned this, forgive me, but the holiday kind of fell right around the holiday, right? Yeah.
So.
And this is part of a lessons learned process for us. We know that when we schedule bids near holidays, it's difficult. And also, you know, when we schedule bids, you know, the first on Mondays, it's difficult. So we do take that into account. We're running out of time this year to get this work done, so we pushed it. You know, we pushed it. You know, we were hoping to bring it to July board. You know, we're hopeful we're going to bring, you know, get approval today so that we can actually start the work and get it done this year.
So Gustavo, in your opinion, do you think that as the contract moves forward, if it's awarded to Landmark, that they will exceed that 11.76?
Oh yeah, yes. I believe that they have indicated that they're already lining up additional DVEs that will be added to the contract at some point. Yes.
Thank you.
And you'll keep us posted on that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, absolutely. Great. Thank you.
Okay. The next item, which I wanted to present, is item number 16. And this is a sole source contract. The amount of the contract is $576,000. We're recommending that we move forward with this contract to Delcam Corporation. This is the consultant right now that's helping us run our TIM center, our traffic and incident management system center. They perform a maintenance aspect in this contract. We also built in 2 months time of transition time in this contract, and they also continue some of the critical capital enhancements that we're doing. They have to incorporate new equipment into the TIM center because we have new construction jobs going on, and also our digital video migration effort. We want to continue that, so we are in the process of advertising a new RFP for the service, and we worked very hard on it, along with procurement, to try to get it into a state of completion prior to the expiration of this existing contract. We didn't make it. We're asking, you know, for this sole source, just so we can continue through the process of actually getting this new RFP out and bringing on a new vendor. We know, based on our experience, it's very difficult to predict exactly how long that's going to take, even if we follow all the right steps to get there. We feel pretty good, though, about the state of the RFP. It's going through its final review processes with our state purchasing officer and also with CMS. And so it's going to be advertised shortly, right?
Yeah, we believe within the next couple of weeks.
So that'll keep us on track. And, you know, this money will only be utilized if we don't get this new vendor on board before 6 months' time expires. If we can get them on sooner and begin the transition sooner, then, you know, we won't end up losing as much of the sole source contract.
Also, does this contract predates its always DVE program?
Yeah, so it's a pretty...
So is this a renewal, or what is this?
This is just a sole source contract. It is not a renewal. We have had annual renewals built into this contract, which have gone on for several years. They did not have a DVE goal assigned. I believe that on the sole source, they're committing to at least 6%. Overall, within this contract, they've been able to achieve voluntarily 3% since its inception. And we've only started working with them on incorporating DVE commitments into it over the past 5 years. And that's when they've actually been able to try to build up some additional DVE involvement. So all the additions or renewals or supplements that we've made to this contract have had DVE commitments in them. It's just that the initial five-year period was before the DB program was even started, and there was no goal assigned to this. So they have been cooperating with us.
Okay, next.
The last two items I would like to present are both construction, final releases of retainage. So following the normal process, we do, you know, close out the contracts, agree to final quantities. We make a determination whether the work is acceptable or not. Both of these contracts, the work is fully completed, and it is acceptable to us. And the final dollar amounts have been determined, and we would like to move forward with it. Usually we do have the DBE information filled in on our final releases of retainage.
Could you give us the numbers on these?
This is items 24 and 25. The DBE portion of these contracts is still being evaluated. We are not giving up any of the tollways rights with respect to the DBE aspects of this program by releasing this final retainage. It's just a recognition that this work is done. This is the contractor's money. They've earned this money. We hold retainage on all of our contracts until the work is complete and acceptable to us. And we would like to move forward and return this money to them. So item 24 is a request for final release of retainage amount not to exceed $222,006.77. This is on contract 5430. It's with R.W. Dunteman. They did some diamond grinding and some improvement work on the Tri-State Tollway. You'll see there is a variance between the final contract amount and the original contract amount, and that's because we had an option built into this contract where the Village of Green Oaks could have opted to include additional diamond grinding, you know, in their portion of the system, and they did not want to proceed with that, so the job's coming in about $1 million under.
So how do we release this? How do we get them to commit? What leverage do we have to get them to commit to this 15.2%?
We don't. All the DBE work is complete now. So the final percentage...
So the final percentage is under review?
Is under review.
But they met the 15.2? So
the final percentage, I think that there's a true-up that's happening, right? But at this point, for us to continue to hold the retainage means that there are subs that may not be getting their payments. And
exactly.
I believe that there's retainage on another contract to this prime, correct? Where we would see opportunities either on that or in the future if we had... you know, some issues and we're leveraging some type of sanction or needed to take some additional action, right?
Yes, I mean, this is a contractor that wants to do work with the tollway, has done a lot of work with the tollway, plans to maintain its relationship with us. I think right now they're at roughly about 16.52%, and I think a lot of the reduction in the DBE on this is due to the elimination of about $1 million worth of work that DBEs were going to be involved with. But it's still, we are still evaluating work done by one of their DBE subs, and
so I think the answer to your question is we don't, as a practice, use financial sanctions if people don't meet their DBE goals.
Well, particularly if we've removed work from the contract that...
Right. If it's explained and we accept it, then there won't be a sanction. But we reserve the right to issue a sanction or take some action against them in the future if they aren't.
The $1 million removed from this contract was going to go to the DBEs?
They would have had involvement in that work.
And why was that removed, the $1 million from that contract?
So when we put it out to bid, we weren't sure exactly what it was going to cost. And we had an agreement with the Village of Green Oaks to do some of this work. So the village said, well, we would really like to do, you know, a section that's X miles long. And they decided they only could afford to do a shorter portion. So we had, and that was built into the contracts as advertised. So the contractor knew that, you know, a portion of the work might not move forward. So in the end, it was eliminated.
Just forgive me if this is the obvious, but how do you determine the percentages, the different percentages?
To assign the goal?
The percentages, and this is coming up next week for briefing, but I'll give you a quick 101 on that right now, which is we take the engineer's estimate, and on a line item by line item basis, based on a disparity and availability study that was conducted a few years ago, we determined the availability of DVEs per trade and add up that on all of those line items and come up with the final goals. So it's a customized goal on a project by project basis. I'll give you more certainty.
So it's a little like the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. We've come a long way. 5 years ago, we didn't have a DVE set aside. We still are, in some instances, looking for more minority participation. And the unbundling that we've done has really been helpful to bring us a long way.
Yes, and I would say that, just to be very clear, I wouldn't say that 5 years ago we didn't have, 5 years ago we didn't have a DVE program, right? Probably back when that Delcan contract was initially awarded, there weren't DVE goals set on that contract, and the original contract term was maybe 5 years with a series of renewals or something along those lines. So it was when the renewals came up that we started to think about putting, you know, seeing what they could do as far as achieving some additional participation.
Paul, would they have met their, if that million wasn't taken out, simple, would they have met their percentages based on what you saw in the contract between subs and minorities?
I mean, and that test, that evaluation, that's done by Gustavo's group. And it appears that, I will tell you that on this particular contract, we don't really feel that the achievement of the final goal is really what's in question. We're more looking at the DBs involved, and Gustavo has to be comfortable with giving them the full credit. And we're not there yet.
Thank you for your scrutiny and perseverance. So we have one.
I will do item 25 also.
Thank you.
It's a very same issues, and it's actually even the same contract. That's a request for final release of retainage in the amount not to exceed $482,986.22 on construction contract 5637 to R.W. Dunkman. This was for some work on Tri-State Tollway from the Bensonville Bridge to Balmoral Avenue. There was a slight uptick in the final contract amount, and those changes were due to, we made adjustments to the maintenance of traffic, primarily for safety reasons.
Any questions on that? I have one recusal, which is 14, Director Darcy. So unless anybody has an objection, I'd like to take 1 through 13, take 14 separately, and then go 15 through 27. Okay, so may I hear a motion on 1 through 13?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any extensions? Okay, let's take 14 separately. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Director Darcy has recused himself. Any extensions? And then let's take 15 through 27. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair. Just for correction, we'll do 15 through 25 for this session.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll do 26 and 27.
Sorry to interrupt.
Executive session. Thank you. No, I appreciate the correction. So through 25. The motion is amended. May I all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions or recusals? Okay, thank you. So 26 and 27 will be discussed in executive session, and then we'll come back and act in full session, and then let's turn to legal. David?
I believe Director Peterson laid out the items very well, and they're on the consent. Happy to field any questions if needed, though.
Okay, any questions on that? Let's do legal items 1 through 5. May I hear a motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Refusals or extensions? Okay, thank you. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? Okay, we'll go into executive session. Do you want to take a break?
Thank you. If the board could entertain a motion to proceed to executive session pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, Section 2C1 to discuss specific personnel items at the tollway, Section 2C11 to discuss potential litigation involving the tollway, and Section 2C5 to discuss anticipated property acquisition as well as negotiated terms for leased property owned by the tollway. So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We'll take a 7-minute break. Do you think it can begin?